smoke. Last time I had a snooze, man, you fucking roped. I got purple drinks, so I pour that shit. She want purple rain, baby, play that shit. I don't have no time for it.
You are listening to Figaro Jones. Song's called Rogue? Yeah, the song's called Rogue. Now, I choose Figaro Jones not because I particularly know who Figaro Jones is. I did a bit of a look around for Perth-based hip-hop artists. I found a couple that I thought had a sound that I liked. And as this is our Fringe World wrap-up episode, it only felt appropriate that I give a little shout-out to the Perth hip-hop scene. So, I hope you enjoy it. There was also some thematic interests in there. Because he's constantly talking about being so fucking woke. And as you'll hear later when we get into it, Martin Wayne's special is called Woke-ish, which, sets off a bit of a conversation for us, but you'll know that when you hear it later, as I am recording this after the interview, of course. Now, before we get into it, just a few fun things. We are doing two live shows at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival on the 7th and 8th of April at 6:30 at the Imperial. 6:30 p.m. at the Imperial. The guests that I have lined up for these shows are incredible, and you really don't want to miss them. They're a very funny bunch of people who I think we're going to have a really good time with. So lock down a couple of tickets, come on out, and get loose for a couple of nights. There's only two shows of that, and I am doing a two-week run of my solo show, The War... Ooh. Jeez, having a bad day. I'm doing a two-week run of my solo show, War of the Words. Now, this is the last chance you will get to see this show. Probably ever. So please, come out. I already have a few industry types coming through in a couple of the early nights, but if you come out anytime, that would be fantastic. Show some support, show some love. I know it's a weird time being at 4:45, but I'm sure some of you can get out a little bit early, or if you're students, come on down. It's going to be, you'll get more out of coming to this show than you will out of the last hour of your work day. I promise you that. It's a really fun show. I've had a ball doing it, just traveling it around and doing this show. And as much as I'm looking forward to doing the next one, I'd really love to just end on a high note with this show and just land in a really good place. That being said, if you've never heard me perform before and you're a little reluctant to hear or commit to skipping out of work to come and see me do a live show, I have just released my first album. It dropped last night, and it is available via Bandcamp for the low price of $2. Or, if you wish, you can pay a little bit more. If you feel like this is your way of supporting this show, I'd really appreciate that. Leave me a little note. I'm sure you can leave some sort of note. I'm not sure how the Bandcamp purchasing system works. But if there's a space for you to leave a note just to say that you're a fan of the show, fantastic. That'd be great for you to do. Or if you just want to tweet me, my Twitter handle is attached to every episode of this, so you can find me quite easily. But if you're a fan of the show and you feel like you'd like to contribute to the show, this is probably the best way to do it. It's either this or come out and see the show. Now, if you do buy a copy of my album, The Face of Gentrification and Other Ideas, from Bandcamp, you will be given a promotional code for 20% off tickets for this comedy festival. So that's essentially two shows for close to the price of one, unless you choose to do a particularly generous donation, in which case I thank you in advance. So please, come on out. It's just me and Marty this episode. So it's a nice, quick, fun one. Enjoy. Swollen, cause I hit a big lick, and I want a big lick. If they had a draft, I would wonder if they pick me. I just wanna dance with a thick bitch. Summertime don't impress me. I don't want the weather hot for me to flex these. Yeah, check the temp, check the Celsius. Cause when I pull up, baby, it's a lot of melting. Yeah, I'm so fucking woke. Last time I had a snooze, man, you fucking wrote. Fucking woke. Last time I heard a snooze, man, you fucking rolled. I got purple drinks, so I pull that shit. She want purple rain, baby. I got a juice. You ain't seen nothing less of the proof. I had to top of the red in the booth. If it's HP, I stay in the booth. I got a juice. You ain't seen nothing less of the proof. I had to look at the steps in the room. Then I just cleaned out the rest of the room. Like a storm on Gully Gully. I splash on everybody. Double coat for a single body. Got paid, gotta get it poppin'. Switch lanes, you can't stop me. You change, I stay atop it. I see you watch pocket. Tell if you watch your eye socket. Whoa, I'm so fucking woke. Last time I had a snooze, man, you fucking wrote. I got purple drinks, so I pour that shit. She want purple rain, baby, play that shit. Whoa, I'm so fucking woke. Last time I had a snooze, man, you fucking wrote.
I got purple drinks, so I pour that shit.
I haven't been checking, so we'll see if the batteries hold up. They're already down to 2. Good.
And there's no backup batteries.
Well, we'd have to go shopping.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Let's get into it. I'm back.
Good evening.
Hey. Back from Perth. We, in theory, just had the Perth run of Just for Fun, which personally I think was quite successful.
That's good.
All the guests were my first night. If you listen to the audio, you can't, because I cut the bit that I was like, that opening wasn't very strong. I'm going to cut that.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I did not do a good job of warming the audience for the first show, but the guests very much saved the show because they came out strong.
Okay, good.
Fucking swinging.
Yeah.
And the end of the game was really strong.
Okay.
So you had some really good guests on. And they were all quite competitive, but like playfully competitive.
That's good.
Mm. And the second show was just, we only had 2 guests, but it was perfect. Lauren and Lauren. Good work, guys.
The Lawrence?
Yeah. Buck and Lauren Patterson.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it was just a strong run. So thanks for everyone who came out. And those who didn't, fuck you guys.
Totally.
Should have gone all the way to Perth. Fuck you guys.
And especially if you're in Perth. You
didn't yeah. Yeah. Fuck you guys. Should have come. It was good times.
Yeah.
And no, but I feel like it was a successful run. I was only there for a week. And as per Perth's usual run, lots of little runs for shows, so you get to see a fair bit. Mm-hmm. Although, that being said, I didn't get to see as much as I would have liked or thought I was going to, and partly because the last day, I always expect I'm going to sneak in a couple of shows, but it's such a write-off, because
right.
I'm doing my show. My show finished at 8, then I needed to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just 7:30, then I needed to eat, and then I still had to pick up my stuff from the hostel and make it to the airport. So there is no time.
Yeah,
there's no hour for an extra show.
Okay.
It was supposed to be 11:45. Okay. Ended up being 1 or 1:30. So I probably could have.
Yeah, right.
Probably could have snuck in an extra show.
You kind of just drunk up expecting a delay.
I lived dangerously. Roll dice.
I got to the airport an hour late. No, I just assumed it'd be delayed. Sorry, guys.
You're not delayed? Oh, damn. I was just expecting. And the first day shouldn't have been a write-off. But
this is so annoying. I rolled into town from the airport straight to the little office to pick up your festival passes, and I arrived 10 minutes after they closed. Yeah. And she wasn't going to do me, like, a backpack on me and bag on my front, and I looked over her eyes and, like, I literally have just come from the airport. Are you serious? They're not going to spend 30 seconds just being like, oh, that's your name. And she's like, I've got to put it in the system. Like, you can write it down. Do it first thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah, right.
She's like, no. Oh, geez. So that night was a write-off.
Okay.
So there's less shows than I would normally have caught.
Yeah, by a couple of days.
Yeah. But the rest of the festival was really lovely.
Awesome.
A lot of strong shows. I didn't see the rendition of it, but Jacqueline took Simple of Forks up.
Oh, yeah.
So here it went in terms of audiences and so that's nice. She was in the same venue as me.
Okay.
She was like a few days before. Yeah. So she finished up just before we started the live festival.
Okay.
The live shows.
Podcast, yeah.
But the Perth audiences are usually quite nice. They look after us.
Awesome.
Although we've had a long conversation about I think it's her first interstate festival. So we had a long conversation about feelings and travelling and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Not for public consumption, but it was interesting.
Yeah,
it was quite interesting to just sit there, to have that there and just be like, yeah, no, I understand. That being said, we'll get into the few shows that I did manage to get around to seeing. Even as I scroll here, it's not a long list. So we're going to start with, all right. For me, not so much a surprise, but I wasn't expecting to see him. I don't know if you know Taco. No, he's Melbourne based. He lived in London for a year. He's been on the scene for a very long time. And he's got a show that is based on his experience living in London called the Abersham Flat. Which is all about how the dude he moved in with was a con artist.
And
was just scamming all the people who moved into the flat. And I was on after him.
Okay.
So I was always in the green room at Lazy Susan's. So that's why I wasn't expecting to see the show. I was like, wow, I'm going to spend time prepping for the show.
Yeah.
But I could hear it through the door.
Okay.
Lots. It was quite funny. Quite heartwarming. What is that? Okay, here we go. It's a storytelling-based show. So it's long-form storytelling with lots of little beats in there. Like, he talks about reconnecting with his father, and he talks about sort of his relationship with his mother and all the different points.
Have you seen him here?
I've seen him do a lot of stuff here, but I feel like he's evolved a lot from when we used to be on the scene regularly together.
Okay.
This show is really full of heart.
Okay.
It's got a lot sort of going on in it. Some real personal moments. You can feel the audience really responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
What have we got here? Yeah. That's about it, really, for that. But just, it's good. Yeah, I know I'm pretty sure he's doing it again. No, he is definitely doing it again for Comedy Festival.
Okay.
So, people can go check that. The Abersham Flat.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a sham.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I probably would have went with the Aberscam. But I don't know.
Aberscheme.
Yeah, Aberscheme? Aberscheme is good. A few of the shows that I did get out of the catch were people who were on the show. So Annie Louie, I finally got around to seeing Annie Louie's show called But No No. She did it in Fringe Festival, and it was just slightly too far away for me to sort of plan a night around it.
Yeah.
So I quite enjoyed it. I personally found it most engaging when she was sort of leaning into the more personal and not darker, but just harder to access material sometimes. Like, her relationship with her much older father. She had an accident when she was young where she received burns to the face. And that stuff is really interesting when she dives in and explores that stuff. Not to say that the rest of the show is not, but there's some strong stuff in there. Like, you can hear her on the podcast doing some of the lighter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun go around.
On our podcast?
Yeah, on our
podcast. Oh, she did?
She guested on the podcast.
Awesome.
So it's like a little preview if people want to check that out and people want to see her. She's doing it again in the Comedy Festival. So hopefully she's a bit close to the city. I haven't checked what venue she's in, and that might open it up a little bit more. But donut.
Awesome.
Yeah. Struan, remember Struan?
I do
remember. Yeah, Struan was back.
Awesome.
With a new show called Struan All Over the World. So it's a travel show.
Awesome.
He guested on the podcast. We did a small spot there. So friend of the show. Struan Logan.
Yeah.
And this show was really fun because it was just traveling stories, including a nice story of, which we discussed slightly before I saw his show. He was like, I've got a story from Station 59, which was nodding knowingly. Because that was a comedy venue fraught with many stories.
A storage venue.
Yeah. But his one is a particularly good one.
Okay.
So if you're looking for just a good, that room doesn't exist anymore. The guys who run it decided not to do it anymore. And the room runner has moved on. I think he's in Yarragon now. Doing a room in Yarragon. But I haven't been to it. I don't know. So I'm not 100% sure. But that was a fun show. I managed to squeeze it in one day. How did I manage that? Oh, I had to leave early. That's why. Because I had to get to something. I think probably my show. But it was good. And he'll be back in Melbourne doing a one-off. Not in the festival, but just like, from what I've seen, it'll probably be like a free-to-enter donation afterwards type show.
Cool.
So I think people should go check that out. Because it's a good show.
Yeah.
It's worth getting an audience, and I think he'll just have a good time. He's a fun performer.
Yeah.
He's a Scottish comedian, if anyone's not sure. I'm not going to tell. By the name Struan. I mean, it doesn't necessarily say Scottish, but
feels it.
Who else was it? Oh, Lauren Buck.
Awesome.
Friend of the show, Lauren Buck. And the only woman to this date have an episode that hasn't come out because I forgot to record it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Fantastic. But she was on the two Laurens episode. And so you remember we talked about the alternative Fringe show from last year's Fringe that Tom Lang, I forget who the other performer was, were hosting. It was like, if the Fringe was different, this is what the acts that would be on.
Right.
And Lauren Bock did a meta breakdown of who's in a Fringe audience, who comes to see a Fringe show.
Okay.
She's expanded that. I mean, obviously she was working on it at the time. But she's expanded that into a full run, which is sort of like a meta breakdown of what goes through a festival performer's mindset and how you develop a show. And lots of great jokes about posters and concepts, and a delightful gag about opening music, which goes for a while but has such a nice payoff. Yeah, just like stuff like that, just like all those little bits and pieces that you put together. And if you want to hear Lauren give a staunch defense of it, so I jokingly said it was like writing the essay of, I can't think of what to write, the essay that you always write when you're like, it's free writing essay. And you're like, oh, I can't think of what to write. I'll write an essay about how I can't think of what to write. But she gives a really staunch defense. Like, maybe I didn't play, that I was being playful enough. I might have been too cruel.
She ripped it.
She did. But it's good explanation, actually. It's really good to hear. And just to hear her talk passionately about what it is and the body of it and how it sort of reads. Because it's a fun show. I think it might surprise a few people. So people should go check it out.
The show's called?
Between a Bock and a Hard Place. Fun name.
Which is funny, yeah, because like, yeah, that's funny. Like, she's meaning that because that's like such a performer's thing to do when they come up with names for the show.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're going to have it as far enough in advance that you are only vaguely aware of what the show is about. But apparently this was done by Consensus Online.
She put the name up.
So she's lucky she didn't end up with, like, Bocky McBock.
Training's expensive.
Shit like that. The second Lauren from the Lauren's show was a woman named Lauren Patterson. Her show was called Lady Muck.
Okay.
She was the best newcomer at Fringe, Edinburgh Fringe last year. And her show was fucking great. She's from Newcastle. Well, she used to live in Newcastle. She's London-based now. And this is her show where she's travelling around, at least around Melbourne and into New Zealand. I don't know how much further she's travelling after that. It's long-form stand-up with an overarching theme, but like lots of little jokes, like a nice story in there about a breakup and just like her coming to terms with herself and sort of being okay with being herself and all that sort of stuff amongst it. And moving to London.
This show won the award?
Yeah, this particular show. So she's bringing it to Melbourne, which will probably be doing the entire festival run because she's here. We had a good chat. She's here doing like, essentially she's doing a 5-month tour. She's going through every festival and into New Zealand with a slight trip back home to record for Comedy Central. So she's doing right.
Again, this show though? Called this show for?
No, a set, like an online, a set for one of those feature shows.
Yeah,
like everyone's going to be doing 7 minutes or whatever. Right. So probably
chunks of this
probably show. A good 7 minutes from this.
Yeah.
Would you be good when that gets online?
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. there might be laws.
Probably is.
I don't know. She didn't mention it when we were talking about things in an official capacity, but also, yeah, she didn't.
Okay.
So, we will see. Comedy Central comes after me.
Yeah, exactly. Come see me. I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I'll take my $0.
Come at me. Give me a deal.
Yeah.
Then you can take some money.
That's right. Take it off my
tab. You can take a bigger percentage from my deal. And
that must be Comedy Central UK or something, or is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's because apparently they did a run of shows the year before, like a run of recordings, and they ended up getting all male performers.
Yeah.
And she was annoyed.
Okay.
Went to her agent and was like, "You gotta sort this shit out."
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, she won Best Newcomer.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you not approach them straight away and be like, "Hey, come be on the show"?
Well, then that's a good investment to go see the show, then, if it's Best Newcomer.
Best Newcomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I know, she's doing a full festival, right?
Awesome. What's the show called again?
Lady Muck.
Okay.
Lady Muck. This lady was supposed to do a spot on the show, but she was unwell. Her name is Nikki Wilkinson, and the show's titled Happy. And this was it was less straight stand-up as it was. So there was elements of stand-up, and it definitely started in the stand-up world. But the conceit is that she's a comedian who is trying to make herself happier.
Okay.
So she made like a list of things to try and make herself happier. And she's working on them. She's been working on them for the last year. So there's lots of like games and fun interactions and a ton of just silly stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, and there was also a sandwich by jokes like that. It was good fun. She's very good at navigating the crowd and like getting a crowd to do what she needs them to do, even though that thing is quite silly.
Okay.
So I feel like she'd be a good like
dictator.
Yeah, dictator. I was gonna say MC, but either way.
There's a fine line between the two.
It's a fine line between MC and dictator, as the song goes. Alright, let's keep rolling through. This is I think this is the only theatre piece that I saw. It's called Like Nobody's Watching. And I enjoyed this play. I think it suffered a little bit from the space that it was in. Because the space is called The Ram. And the stage is tilted.
Okay.
So the seats sort of, there's a flat spot, the stage goes back, it's not a huge tilt, but it's a tilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the seats are real low, and they sort of go up a bit.
Okay.
It's a sort of weird space.
Okay.
Like you can get uncomfortably close to someone for an hour. But the necessity to set up some of his props the way he needed to, and for a long portion. So the conceit is about a man stuck on an island talking to a basketball named Spalding, who is sort of like the vocal embodiment of Spalding Gray, the monologuist, talking about movies where people are stuck on islands.
Okay. Yeah.
Follow that?
I'm sold.
You follow that?
Yeah.
So he's got this rope that's around stage for most of it, which sort of maps out land, I think, because the stage is slightly tilted.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bit difficult to get like a chair set up or just little bits and pieces where it needs to be. The basketball. Yeah. Keep the basketball still.
Did it keep rolling down?
Not necessarily, but right. There was definitely moments where he had to really think about where he was putting it. Like you'd sort of see him contemplating, or like he'd had trouble before.
Yeah, right.
Carefully placing things.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to work with the venue. You got.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like a fringe venue, so he would have got a lot of walk-through traffic. Yeah. So the space was beneficial in its own way, but also slightly disadvantaged.
For that particular show.
Fair enough. I think we're only... Okay, I'm going to preface again. I enjoyed the show. So I've got here, I enjoyed it, but within the narrative, there's a comment about saying something and not just talking. Like, there's a running theme about, like, saying something. But I'm not sure that the play itself said something and didn't just talk a bit, like talking about saying something and not just talking. But it is interesting. Like, yeah. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know that he broke the meta constraints enough for it to
say something.
Yeah, to be saying something about saying something about being on an island while on an island.
Okay.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have to see it again.
Yeah, right.
There was a lot going on. Okay. But I enjoyed it. It was an American. I think he was from New York. I can't remember.
Cool.
Alright. So this guy, Chris Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Scottish comic. His show is called Unquiet Mind, which is what grabbed me in the poster. It was really good. It's an interesting title. Very good storytelling. He's quite charming. I got really into the way he told his stories. He sung a couple of songs on the guitar and the accordion. It's mostly stories about relationships and a good, fun story about auditioning for a Brad Pitt film, which was pretty cool. Awesome. Yeah. And that goes for... That's a long story. Well, it's not that long, but it's quite funny. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if I auditioned for a Brad Pitt film, I'd stretch that for every minute that it's worth. But, yeah, that was a good... I quite enjoyed that.
Awesome.
His whole bit about Brad Pitt and like worrying that Brad Pitt's going to fall in love with him and they'll run off together is essentially the conceit of the bit. It's great.
It's a worry.
Yeah, yeah. It's a concern. Something we really need to think about. So this guy's not a stand-up. He was a mentalist, I guess, you know, like mind reading and getting people to do, like, it's magic, but it's not magic. It's based on, like,
yes.
little tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's called Don't Trust Jeff Newman. It's pretty straightforward.
By Jeff Newman.
He's, yeah, Jeff Newman's the man. He's Canadian. And look, to be honest, this show, I enjoyed it a lot, but it's as charming as any of these shows are. Like, there was nothing particularly different about it.
Okay.
But these shows are always pretty fun.
Yeah, like,
you know, we're going to set up a number at the start and then you're going to unlock a box at the end and that number's going to be inside or that word's going to be inside. Yeah. How do we do that?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And that's always really fun to especially when you see more than one of them and you're like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to watch The Room to see what I can see because I went to see a show years ago called Six Impossible Things Before Dinner. And they did a little trick where they threw a fake brick into the crowd. And everyone who caught it said a letter or a letter. And then at the end, there was supposed to be a big reveal, which was supposed to be the number. Turned out to not be the number. And it was like, oh, don't believe too much. Hey. They gave out fortune cookies. or fortune cookies. I had the letters inside.
That's fine.
I was like, that's fucking cool, because they were all sealed.
Yeah, that's cool.
To this day, I don't know how I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, after seeing that, I was like, well, we've set up a thing. And let's see how we go with this. Like, see what I can see, or see what I can notice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Or else he'd be out of a job if you could work it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not that good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But it does add a level of.
Yeah.
When you haven't seen that sort of show before, and there's clearly some people who hadn't. Nah, I'm a fucking great job.
Yeah, yeah.
Just people in the back being like, what? What? Yeah. And that's always fun. You can get a bit nice big vibe. It was like 10 o'clock. So these guys are just. Yeah. Primed, had been out, seen a few things, had a couple of drinks.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm just ready to go. do you know Brody Snook?
I do.
No, she's Perth-based, well, formerly Perth-based. I don't know where she's gone. London, maybe? UK? Yeah, but she's an amazing stand-up. And basically, this whole show, her show's called Babe. And so it had undertones of the inherent positions of power and social interaction, but particularly male-female interaction. And had a lot of good little bits and pieces. Like she had a bit about having her female empowerment taken away from her by a 14-year-old boy. It was when she was out jogging, which is fantastic. I think it was really funny. And just how like easy it is to strip away some of that. Like, you're, I'm a strong, confident woman. And then you go out and you see a 14-year-old. Fuck.
That's cool.
And yeah, just like, lots of stories about growing up in small town Perth and sort of where she is now.
Is she bringing that here?
I don't know. I haven't seen her name in the in the guide, but I haven't really looked for it. So maybe?
Yeah.
I can't get Brody Snook. Mm-hmm. Want to have a quick with Brody with an R. And then Snook. N-O-O-K.
Cool.
But while you look that up.
Babe Fringe World.
Fringe World, yeah.
Doesn't look like it.
No. Maybe it's just cheaper for her to do that Fringe World.
Yeah.
Because she's got home people.
Ah, right.
Whereas having come to Melbourne, that's like
And the accommodation
for food and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Not many shows left. We got Dill Rock.
Was he good? He's
always reliable. Yeah. He did. I only got to see him because he did an extra show at like 10 o'clock or something like that. Because his show was on at like 6, and I was on at 6:30. So I'm like, no, can't see Dill Rock.
Yeah.
And he announced this extra show. I'm like, yes.
That I can do.
And get into that. So, you know, as expected with Dill Rock, strong stand-up.
Yeah.
A nice undercurrent of existential troubles. And, like, it's all about him trying to live more respectfully, trying to live better.
Okay.
You know, coming back on drinking, stuff like that. At one point, like, he opens the show with talking about death and talking about having pissed out blood. And, you know, just, like, what that does for him and what that meant. And there's a nice anecdotal story about performing for the Prime Minister, Turnbull, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And I got to have a good chat to him. I ran into him. We were both out for a walk in opposite directions. And that was the morning after his show, so we had to go have a good chat about festival stuff and development and keeping at it and all that sort of stuff. And that was good. Good morning chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good man.
Yeah.
Always full of good advice.
Yeah.
And our last show that I saw at the festival was Damien Power. And I don't have the name of the show in here. Maybe it didn't have a name. But he's very strong. Continuously.
Yeah.
This is definitely his most philosophical show yet.
Just, which is a bit cool because David Powell definitely does stuff
like that. Yeah, and so it's like built a lot. So I guess it's just here, it's building on his strengths. It was early days of it too, so he was like workshopping bits and pieces and sort of talking to about different stuff, and he was like, oh, you know, that might not stay, or that might
stay. there was a lot of meta back and forth.
He was just like, it's okay, we believe in you, just keep going. A lot of it was like explorations of masculinity and parenting, generational differences, dating, technology, and sex robot ethics. It's an interesting piece. He had a bit in there which was, I quite enjoyed, which was about dating a Muslim feminist, but he told us at the end of the show that he didn't finish telling the story because he had like accidentally segued into something else and then picked up somewhere else, and we lost the end because he was like, you want to hear the end of that story? And we're like, yes. He's like, no, we don't have time, so you have to come back another day.
Oh, nice.
Which in and of itself is a nice way to get people back.
Yes.
And it would be, I guess it would be fine if it wasn't charging people. But
you still got your hours worth.
Yeah. And it was strong. It was all really strong stuff. That was good. It was an interesting show. I'm sure he's, because it was in developmental stage, I'm sure he's touring it. I'm sure he's bringing it over for Comedy Festival.
Awesome. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a lot of names, new names and faces and stuff. I just didn't get a chance to see. I guess it's hard as well because I was only there for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only...
You get your own shit going on.
Yeah, exactly. You can only see so much. And I got to leave time for performing the show, for preparing.
Yeah.
Wrangling guests.
Wrangling guests.
Got to get a little hound.
How many shows did you
do? I only did three. Okay. So I'm talking like it's this big hassle, but it was only three shows.
And then two.
And two of the... Yeah, five. So five.
Full house before.
Yeah, three and two. That's when you're playing comedy poker.
Awesome. How did our shows go? while I was here doing nothing.
Totally, our shows went well.
Okay.
The guests are fantastic as always. Always willing to play and get silly, which is nice. And just really bringing their A game, like bringing a solid piece of material.
Yes.
Which, you know, most of them have an hour show, so they're not afraid to burn a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Because they know that they can hold on to a crowd for long enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's good. It's nice when they're coming in confident and they're coming in with something strong.
Awesome.
But all in all, the festival experience is really good. I think I've got a nice working relationship with Lazy Susans now.
Awesome.
So I'll probably... sorry. I'll probably end up trying to stay there. I'm going to say, outgrow the room!
It's not but they have multiple rooms?
No, it's one room. But it's like a 100-seater, so I'm not going to outgrow the room anytime soon.
100-seater.
Yeah. And Beck Hill does a 50-seater every comedy festival, every Edinburgh festival.
Right.
And she's more established and more successful than I am, so...
Well, you would just put more dates on, like, you know, if you're selling out the shows, yeah.
In theory, yeah. Yeah, she'd be like, hey, you, is there a space?
Yeah, it'd be like 11 o'clock at night, but...
Can we get a midnight show? Let's get a midnight mass.
Midnight mats.
Yeah. Everybody...
That's the next show. You're doing all your shows at midnight, including Midnight Mats.
Midnight Mats. It'll be a empty run, especially in Melbourne, because public transport finishes.
That's true.
Maybe if we had public transport, that was good.
Wow. That's 24-hour public transport.
Briefly.
On Friday.
Yeah, we need it all the time.
Well, we need it on Wednesday night.
Working.
That's true.
Working.
Get a curry bun.
There are a bunch of people who work.
That's true.
You want to be a metropolitan city? A clean
day. I like our country town feel.
We don't have a country town. We have
things that work.
A city feel. We just have like a
country town public
small city feel.
A small city
feel. Yeah. Yeah, London and New York. You want to be Australia's London or New York? You go 24-hour public transport.
Then you get stabbings.
No.
No, not because of the trains. I'm saying if only London and New York, because they have stabbings.
We have stabbings too.
Yeah. There's a lot of trains.
I'm sure Perth has no trains.
You live in no places that we could have invited closing
you're
early.
You don't live in the desert?
No stabbing. Not one stabbing. Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
No trains.
Go on a camel, you can ride all day. No threat of a stabbing.
No, just dehydration.
Just dehydration and death.
Water, lack of water. Severe lack of hydration.
Awesome.
It's bad. Waking up with no tap. You're going to wake up in the middle of a desert on a camel that you've forgotten. Wandered off somewhere.
You forgot to tie it on a rock, yeah.
Mm. You had nowhere to tie it up.
Yeah, sure.
No street poles.
No street poles.
No saloon for you to ride on in. Tie your camel out front.
So true.
Not happening. So, what's up?
I'll still take it.
For the diminished risk of what is essentially a minimal risk
of stabbing. And, you know, it gets back to nature, you know.
Back to nature?
You know.
Not any sort of useful nature. Just
get
deserts.
Mother Earth, you know.
Mother Earth, I'll bury up to your head. I'll see how much Mother Earth you want. You got the breathe area.
This concrete jungle. Let's we'll get back to nature.
Where the animals eat you.
Hey, if that's the way nature intended.
Well, maybe nature intended for you to get stabbed.
No, Juan intended for me to get stabbed. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm Mexican. I'll take
well, you know, he's part of nature.
Take that back.
Nature made him that way.
That's true. Or is it nurture? That's a bigger debate.
If you believe it was nature or nurture, cool. Write to us.
Why did one stab Marty? Nature or nurture?
We're taking calls all morning. What's been happening with you, Marty?
Alright. Yeah, we didn't do a show, we didn't do another show in Feb.
And why is that?
I was working a lot.
Working time. For the man?
Yeah, both me and the guy who shoots and edits it for me work at the same place.
That becomes difficult when the...
the guy does all of it, yeah. We work at the same place, so, and we were alternating shifts, so when he was not working, I was. So it just became not doable.
Mm-hmm.
Not
feasible.
Or it would have had to be like hella, like rushed at night time or whatever.
Midnight.
So we didn't do one. So season break, we call that now.
Season break?
We're now calling that season break.
The Feb season break.
We're now calling that 4 episodes in season break.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta earn your rest. Work hard.
So season 2 Rest started hard. Last night.
Well, it's like the first season of Seinfeld. What was that?
It was a short one.
6 episodes? Yeah. It's a test season.
It was. It was to find its audience.
People are loving it.
So we came back last night. Can't wait for that one to be out.
Season 2, episode 1.
Season 2, episode 1. We got renewed. YouTube renewed us.
Renewed you.
That we are still allowed to put our own stuff up if we want.
Yeah. They will not.
They haven't blocked our accounts.
They won't stop you. But they probably won't monetize.
They're not going to endorse me, no. So that's been fun. Andrew McClelland. Our first guest for season 2.
Andrew McClelland.
Which was a good get.
A walking tour of Western Europe?
Yes.
Yes, I know things.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun show.
It does. He's got a big screen behind him, and it's Google Maps and Google Earth and stuff like that. So, and he always brings some sort of a
charming,
yeah,
ragamuffin attitude.
Yeah, and it's but also it's always high concept.
Yeah.
So yeah, yet again. So it sounds amazing.
The high concept charm of Andrew McClelland. Did you see his Elvis bit on tonight?
No.
Went to a Elvis Festival.
He went to an Elvis Festival.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good fun.
Okay, no, I've not seen that. So it's still going. I didn't know that.
They have not stopped. I expected once, just with the way that those sort of shows usually run on the ABC, so like, usually the weekly runs into Mattisau, and then Mattisau runs, and then it's just done until it weekly came back. And so when Tonightly started up at the start of the year, I was like, oh, that must run until Mad as Hell comes in. And then maybe Mad as Hell will run and then the weekly will come back.
But they're running concurrently.
But yeah, they're running concurrently, and I don't know when, if or when the weekly is coming back. I haven't heard anything or seen anything.
I've not seen an episode of Tonightly.
Oh, look, it's not quite Australia's answer to The Daily Show, which is, I think, people thought it might
That's
be.
That's probably more The Weekly, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely more
yeah.
The Weekly. But it is fun, gets a bit silly.
But nor is it a talk show.
Oh, it has guests. It has, like, guests at the end.
Okay.
And it might have. So for Mardi Gras, they had, like, a week worth of Mardi Gras-related guests. And
okay.
So they had, at one point, they had I can't remember who the guest was, which I know makes me very bad. There was a guest doing a serious interview, and then I had, like, Jared and Hickey doing stand-up. So that was, you know, like, essentially two guests. But
okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Depends.
But they don't have a music guest or anything?
They've done music. They've done stand-up.
Okay.
And they've done interviews.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, The Another Show is still the only typical late-night talk show in Australia.
Yeah. Standing by it?
It is. Format-wise, it's the only proper late-night talk show in Australia.
Well, he doesn't have... he only has a desk if he's interviewing people. And he has a desk when he's interviewing people. Otherwise, he delivers the entire show.
Standing.
Up. Well, break from format.
God bless him. Anywho, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. What else have I been doing? DJing. I've been watching some stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Chris Rock's bit, new one, Tambourine. Because anything Chris Rock, I'm going to get on. And I watched Marlon Wayans' Woke-ish.
Woke-ish.
And I watched a few other things. The Chris Rock one I was excited to see because I'm a huge fan. It's probably similar to the show that you went to see.
It's live. The same show.
It is? Right, okay. So I didn't see that. Yeah, it was all right. It's good. I mean, at this point, it's like Jay putting out a new album, which he also did. But it's like, it's mad. Like, even if it's not, like, the best, it's still better than 90% of the rest that's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're so good at their craft.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jay's 444 isn't one of his best five albums ever, but still one of, like, still amazing album.
Yeah.
And it's Chris Rock. Like, this is amazing, but it's not. For me, it's not as iconic or as classic as the other ones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does take a moment to call back on his own joke as well. Keep her off the pole.
Yeah, he does keep her off the pole. He does a few.
Yeah.
A few callbacks. He does keep her off the pole. He does Tambourine, motherfucking Tambourine, which I feel is a throwback to doing the art in the art, fucking art, because he does the same melody.
Maybe. His melody. Maybe it's just his.
For everything.
Maybe that's just his, like, yeah, he's not. He's not, like, opera need to pay melody.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I liked it. It's an interesting Chris Rock because it's not like this socio, like, he's not smashing socio ideas or political ideas. Like, it's just him doing normal stand up like a normal human, like about life and about, you know, he's not destroying everything you thought about something, you know, like he does in other ones.
Well, it was interesting seeing him do it here. There's only slight differences. Not that I remember the show verbatim.
Yeah, of course.
But from what I remember, there's only slight differences. Like, at one point, he talked a bit more openly about his affairs and, like, gave a list of people.
And the live ones.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because he had all the show, he had all everyone's phones.
That's right.
Because it was called the Blackout Tour.
Yeah, that's right.
We had to put our phones in our little vault. Yeah, there's a little company. I can't remember the name of it. You put them in the bag and it, like, locks.
Yeah.
And then you can get them back at the end.
Yeah.
Well, you keep it on you, but you can't unlock it until you leave.
Yeah, that's right.
The zone.
Yeah.
However it works.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a zap collar.
Yeah,
like,
right.
For a dog. Like, this is the that's zap zone.
Radius. Yeah.
That's out of here, you're fine.
Okay.
And they would unlock it at the end. Get your phone out. So you feel it vibrating and you're like, good thing I put that on.
Yeah.
Silent.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously freer with information.
Yeah, because no one can record it.
Yeah, as opposed to Netflix, putting it on blast.
Permanent. And it was interesting watching him.
He didn't say, though. You've told me that he didn't say.
He didn't say specifically.
Yeah, he didn't say.
But it was like one of.
Yeah, you know this person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the name.
Yeah, well, left it. He was like one of, but not Beyonce. So that leaves two options.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, wow. Make your own guesses. Yeah. He's got enough sway, I guess, and charm to be with either of them. But it was interesting feeling the audience responses to some of the more racial stuff, because that's not, especially someone of that caliber.
Yeah, and here
isn't working with that sort of material here.
Yeah,
and he felt it as well.
Yeah,
because he was just like.
But he didn't do much of that. It doesn't get very racial though.
There was it was like, you know, talking about all the stuff at the start. There's a bit of race stuff.
Oh, about the cop killer, stuff like that. That's hard to be black in America because of the cop killer. If you don't punch a kid in the face, you're a bad parent.
Yeah, and get some stuff like that. Getting black kids ready.
Okay.
Because not a lot of people are addressing the situation here in Australia.
It's a bit foreign to us,
A lot of people are like.
Yeah. Well,
respond to this. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with what he's saying.
But I'm also not sure it's uncomfortability. It's more like, I get it, but it's not going to be as funny because we're not there in the thick of it, you know. So we're like, As best someone's like, that's so true, man. You know, I do have to punch my kid in the face. But yeah, it was solid, but it just sort of was one of his classics for me because I love when he gets in there and deconstructs something and just breaks it down. This was more, personal, and
stuff like that,
which was also high quality because he's a funny guy. But it was an interesting take, but yeah, I loved it.
It's kind of just nice hearing him be like, life is hard sometimes and you gotta not fuck up, like straighten up and fly right a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Or that, fuck ups will happen.
Mm.
I am perfect just because I'm famous. It's funny, when he did it all, I think you said this about his live one too, when he did it all, I'm like, if you trace back the other specials, he's unhappy for a while.
Yeah.
You can hear him do bits like where he's like, bored and lonely or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, single and lonely or married and bored. So he does bits where he's probably been unhappy for a while.
Yeah, you can probably piece together
the
destruction of his marriage via his stand-up specials.
Like, you've never really spoken in glowing terms about being married. And his new bird is amazing. No, it's...
I've not.
Like an actress who's half his
age. Okay.
Maybe.
Matt Baben.
he's doing alright for himself. Chris
Rock will land on his feet.
I feel like Chris Rock will be alright.
Good on him.
The other special was Marlon Wayans' one, which I didn't care. Like, had you told me, Marlon Wayans is doing a stand-up special?
Which I almost did. It was on my list of like weird news for one of the episodes where I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Marlon Wayans.
And I wouldn't have cared, but he's been popping up on late night talk shows a lot, being pretty funny.
Okay.
And I'm like, alright, let's see what your special's got. And
show me what you got.
It was alright. I mean, the name could not be more perfect for what the show is.
Because
the name of the special is Workish.
Workish, yeah.
And, that's exactly what the show is, but when I say that, I mean it in a negative kind of way. In that, this show would have been hella funny in 2001.
Right. Okay, that's interesting.
Like, this show would have been, like, all time. I just think we're beyond some of the topics he's on about and some of the tropes.
You think maybe he's missed that boat a little and he's catching up?
Well, that's why it's work-ish, because he says it the whole way through. He's saying, I'm trying to get with where we are as a world right now and stuff like that. So he's obvious about it, but the big jokes as far as when they pan to the audience and the audience is going off and stuff like that, I'm like, this was funny like years ago. I'm beyond, how crazy are black people jokes now? Or how lame are white people? They're just like real basic tropes, where you're like, yeah, this would be funny in the 90s or something, but... And you are the son of... Or not or something, but you are like the next gen of guys who invented that humor. Yeah. Like, the Wayans has invented that and killed with it. It was amazing. But for you to still be doing it now in 2018, it's like, some of it's pretty old school.
So what does that say for, like, the upcoming White Chicks 2?
But see, I love Marlon Wayans in film. I have no issue. And I also have no issue with boring tropes in film. I'm weird like that.
That is weird.
Like I can watch a Barbershop 2 and Cedric be like, Cedric's instead be like...
Yeah, Barbershop 2 was also, like, you know, it was a product of its time. It wasn't trying to produce Barbershop 2 in 2018.
No, and but if a new Barbershop came out, I'd be like, yeah. Like, I don't know. In film, it's different for me. Stand up, you've got to have more to say. Because my heroes have always had more to say.
Yeah.
And when he does the pathos moments where he feels like he's saying stuff, it's stuff we've already
resolved. Yeah, we know him.
Yeah, big time. It's like, yeah, I know.
Correct.
Like, and like we all know. Like, maybe you're just coming to a point where you're like, yeah, I'm really progressive saying this right now.
Right.
But yeah, that's why it's woke-ish. And I think he's obvious about it. Like, he's clear about it. He knows that he's probably maybe late to some parties. That's why it's woke-ish. Yeah, but it's funny. Yeah.
Well, you can give us a sample, hey?
Okay.
You brought in some samples.
I did.
Let's, you can... Maybe after I've heard a couple of minutes, then I can add to the conversation, so...
Possibly not the bit I'm showing, because the bits I'm showing is the good bit.
The good 5 minutes.
Like, you know, the bit that's ever good. Like, always good. Yeah.
All right, let's set this up.
We'll do that one first.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. Okay. Alright, so.
Yeah, so this is from Marlon's special. You know, the whole thing is an hour long. It has peaks and troughs. This was the bit that stuck with me only because it's been covered by Chris Rock and stuff like that. But for me, I just feel like it's funny every time.
Yeah.
Which is a basic comparison of old hip hop and new hip hop.
Okay.
It's never not going to be funny.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun bit.
Yeah.
You know, but I realize I'm old school, man. I like old school hip-hop. I like Rapper's Delight. Because Rapper's Delight was such a fun song, you know? It was fun. The lyrics was easy to remember. It's like Dr. Seuss wrote that motherfucker. It was happy. It was like hip-hop even white people could enjoy. Because the lyrics were so basic. I said a hip. Hop, hip to the hip, the hip, hip, a hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang. Boogie the up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of a boogie to beat. Look how happy white people are right now. These two white boys is in there, see, like, wow, hip, Robin, till the beat. And me, the crew, and my friend, we're gonna try and move our feet. See, I am. Because the lyrics were so simple to remember. Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. If your girl start acting up, then you take her friend. Yeah! Fuck yeah, why reward bad behavior? I ain't trying to be a hater. You know, I like some of today's artists. Like, I love Jay-Z. I love Jay-Z. You know what I love about Jay-Z is that he's an artist that matures, and his music matures with him. You know, like right now, his new album, 444, he's talking about grown man shit. Stuff that's relevant to grown ass men, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's talking about, like, marriage and children and family legacy and wealth and cheating on your wife and getting caught and getting your ass beat in the elevator by her crazy little sister. You know, shit that happens to grown folks. That shit happened to me twice last year.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. That stuff's evergreen.
Yeah, yeah. It's never not going to be funny to hear about Jay-Z getting the shit kicked out of him in the elevator.
And maybe one day he can look back on that.
Maybe. If he's lucky. He'll have to. He'll have to at some point. Yeah. In order to get through the rest of his marriage.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And I guess at some point he had to address cheating on his wife because she wrote a whole album about it.
Well, she did, yeah.
Yeah. She.
Apparently they sort of wrote both their albums at the same, similar time. It wasn't like in response to, they were like, all right, let's get this out.
And they sort both this sort of, out.
Yeah.
We'll make some money off this.
Well, yeah, that's it. And sort of, but yeah, I mean, so that bit's funny, but really the bit about Rapper's Delight is funny because, yeah, not, I play music all the time and white people love Rapper's Delight.
What's not to like?
What's not to like?
I will speak as a representative of my people.
Yeah.
What's not to like? It's fantastic.
And, you know, so he's, look, it's solid. It's just maybe would have been funny about 15 years
ago. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is definitely building on a legacy of white people like rap like this.
Yeah. But not even, see, that be, I'm okay because it's evergreen, but because he extrapolates that to, like, everything. It's like, all right, Jim. It's a bit like that Simpsons, that Black Simpsons comedian Homer's watching.
No.
He's like, black people don't have an idea. So it's a bit like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's good. That. He's energetic the whole way through.
He's he's performing.
Putting his body into it and stuff like that. So
I've never jumped around like that on stage. I'm much younger than Marlon Wayans.
Yeah,
I don't know about much, but I'm younger than him.
Yeah, probably much.
That's good
commitment. It was it's only an hour and a half of your time, so it's probably worth
time.
It's probably worth watching.
Yeah, check it out. Go see some Marlon Wayans. It's interesting. See, you talk about like sort of concurrently writing two halves of a breakup story in albums. I don't want to say it like that. I think I was still processing the sentence as I was saying it.
But I get it.
There's actually two stand-up shows in Edinburgh this year. I'm going to say this year.
Yeah.
Like, just past, not coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
That were about, so two comedians were dating. Two high-profile comedians were dating, and they broke up. And both of their shows were about that experience.
Oh, man.
So that would have been great.
Everyone knew who everyone was talking about.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
100%.
That's crazy.
So that would have been really interesting to catch those two shows and see these two perspectives and just sort of see that story told. Probably more, in a much more truthful and stagey, but still...
Yeah.
Unfolded a lot more by seeing both ends of that spectrum. Because I don't even know who the instigator and why it all happened and all that stuff. Like, I'm not. That would be crazy. But it was interesting to see. Like, to hear that conceptually that was happening at the same festival.
Yeah. Because music's one thing, but when you're just standing there talking about what happened.
Yeah. I'm going to. One of us got really hurt. Let's make some jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no metaphors. Ain't no lemonade.
Yeah.
So it's just like, as a concept piece, those four pieces would go lovely together.
Yeah.
Like a
four-hour
concept.
I mean, that's nor lemonade, nor 444. That's not what both those albums are about in their entirety.
No.
They just touch on them.
Yeah. But the two stand-up specials, it's probably not entirely either, but...
You're right, but... The main crux of it would be, you can't even say the main crux of Lemonade or 444 is the breakups. There's a couple tracks of it.
Some angry tracks.
Yes.
But it's definitely the thing that people were talking about in terms of, like, what made, not just the fact that it was a new Beyonce release, but what made it, like, a household name.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that, my parents probably know Lemonade.
Yeah, right.
You know, they don't know
anything. Oh, yeah, it was Beyonce's breakup album.
Mm.
I've
got one for us. Guy's name is Ali Sadiq. Do you know Ali Sadiq?
I do know.
So he went to jail, spent some time in prison, and finally got out. He's been spending some time on the road developing this stand-up special.
Was he a stand-up before he went to jail?
I think he may have dabbled.
Okay, yeah.
But then, like, while he was in jail, he sort of really focused and he was like, get out and change your life and do all this sort of stuff. And he went back to the prison that he was incarcerated in and did a show for the prisoners.
Awesome.
And the special is incredible.
That sounds amazing.
And then he does a bunch of, like, interviews with prisoners just talking about
love. What?
And, just...
as in, what's it on?
Oh, it was released... HBO.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Maybe. Yeah. It's out there. One of the big channels put it out there, like, supported it. Maybe even Comedy Central.
Yeah. What's it called?
HBO Comedy Central. It's called It's Bigger Than These Bars.
Okay.
Which is a nice title.
Yeah.
Very poetic.
Yeah.
But Alex Deak, it's really strong.
Cool.
Really strong. Just cue that up and we'll listen to the bit that I got. So just before we play it, we just confirmed it's Comedy Central.
Yeah.
For anyone who's looking for access to the special, it's on Comedy Central, which means if you can access the American Comedy Central website, maybe the Australian one, but definitely if you can access the American one, you can probably play that there because they have a lot of open access to this sort of stuff. But here's the bit, and we can talk about it afterwards.
Anybody can go to jail on any given day. You know, you one drink, and most people out there are one drink away from ending up in jail. I don't drink dark liquor at all. Don't drink dark liquor. If I'm going to drink anything, because I don't really drink, but if I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink a margarita. That's it. Margarita, and I want it frozen. I want a frozen margarita with sugar or salt on the top with all the fruit in the world in it, in two straws. And I want to walk through the club just like this. You ain't never seen nobody with a margarita frowning. Margarita's a happy drink. You, even if you are frowning, I can put a margarita in your hand, you... Nobody goes to jail on margarita. They sell you a pitcher or margarita. Do they sell you a pitcher of Hennessy? Hell no. If you buy a pitcher of Hennessy, you going straight to prison. You going to skip jail. You just going to just wind up in prison. Like, man, how I get here? You drank a pitcher of Hennessy. Dark liquor and attitude get your ass in trouble. So we coming out the club, my cousin talking loud, X, Y, and Z, and the officer says, hey, brother. Can you lower your voice? Because you're being loud and belligerent. And we were. You know what I'm saying? Because we happy. My cousin want to stand right by the officer and talk shit. He say, hey, man, don't tell me how to talk and how loud to talk. And step towards the officer. The officer said, hey, boy. Don't do that. Don't take another step towards me. And I'm a stun gun your ass. My cousin, man, on that liquor, hey. The hell you mean you gonna stun gun me? Margaritas. I got good understanding. I'm margarita. I slay there. I say, hey, stun gun. I mean, he gonna electrocute you, dog. He about to electrocute you. That's what he's trying to do. Electrocution is about to happen, son. My cousin, but I knew what happened. My cousin in the fraternity. And that man said, don't step towards him. And I know that's all my cousin heard was don't step. Because his response was, man, don't tell me not to goddamn step. I'll step all over this bitch. As soon as he spun around, that man stun gunned his ass. And what I'm mad about, my cousin's gonna grab me. And now we both.
So good.
Yeah, he's great, right?
I really want to see that now.
Yeah, and that's...
That's so good.
That felt like... The reason I picked that one is it feels like the most accessible in terms of you don't need context of...
Yeah.
Previous stories,
yeah.
Or the idea of him having been in prison,
right.
But that is a good,
yeah.
Just nice, solid stand-up story. But you can see the undertones of like, I've been in prison.
Yeah,
and I understand. I have a strong
understanding. Does he actually explicitly say why,
yep.
He went to prison?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Talks about that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in there that's really quite interesting.
Mind you, I just read that it was two decades ago.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
So he's been like traveling and working on his act and just like building this stand up special. Like, this was, to me, this was the obvious special you would do. I mean, going back to the prison,
but if he's
is
done
a good
two
choice.
Decades, if he was done to, he's done stuff since that's
it's
not
been,
this.
Like working.
It's just his time to do it now.
Yeah, to like focus on this and probably working to become strong enough to do justice to the story that he wants to tell.
Yeah.
Which I could see, and like getting a name, getting a big enough name, getting Comedy Central to recognize you, and then getting them to be like, hey, get behind this concept of me going into this prison to talk about being in prison to these prisoners.
And they splice it with
some interviews. It's not always that short, because that is top and tailed by interview segments, so it's not always that short, but there are lots of interview segments.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a great, very great special. Enjoyed it a lot. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I'm going to bump most of the people that I've wanted to put on the list for showing in this show and put this one straight in.
Yeah.
Because it was very strong and I think people should check it out.
I like it. I'll listen to it.
Mm. Yeah. So, what you got for me?
The meat? Yeah. Our third African American of the show.
Yeah.
I'm sensing a theme. the man himself, Chris Rock, Tambourine. A departure from his normal slashing of politics and socioeconomic. But this one bit, he does dabble back again in what he does best. Enjoy that now.
All right. Are we going?
Yeah.
All right, let's play this.
We need fucking bully shit. That's how Trump became president. That's exactly what happened. We got rid of bullies. A real bully showed up, and nobody knew how to handle it. Shit. The cast of The Apprentice is running the world. Trump, the daughter, Omarosa. They run the world, man. Yo, man, this shit is crazy. You know, a lot of people are like, well, Trump is a bad person and he gonna get his. You know, some people never get theirs. Some people just fail up. You know, people are like, well, you know, what goes around comes around. No, it don't. Sometimes it just keeps going around. Ain't nothing gonna happen to Trump, man. Nothing's gonna happen to Trump. Here's the crazy thing. It might just work out. Trump might work out. Yeah, I said it. Trump might work out. I mean, think about it this way. Bush was so bad, he gave us Obama. You forget that shit, don't you? Bush was so bad that people said, hey, maybe this black guy has the answers. I think people overlook George Bush's contributions to black history. George Bush is a black revolutionary. Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, George Bush. They need to honor him at the Essence Festival. It might work out, man. Think about it. Bush was so bad, he gave us Obama. Said, Trump's so bad, he gonna give us Jesus. Jesus, what you doing here? You seen Trump? This shit is serious. Oh, man.
Solid work.
I mean, that's Chris Rock at his best.
Yeah, he's got all his working habits in there, you know, the repeating the premise, getting people on board. Selling it slowly.
Yeah.
It's all real good stuff. Pulling apart a couple of institutions there. Yeah. Getting people's fundamental beliefs and saying, maybe you're wrong.
Yeah. And making a larger point by making an outlandish small point.
And just feeding off the audience's dissonance and disconnection and being like, just stay with me, trust me. That silence is great. And he's like, oh, Trump won't work out. Like, hang on, is this Chris Rock? There's a good, strong comedic premise in there. He's like, you know, this idea of the pendulum swinging back.
Yeah. And out of something horrible, could come from. But yeah, that's only, like, he doesn't do much of that in that special. I mean, most of it's pretty personal and stuff.
Yeah, probably just had a couple of things he wanted to explore. Yeah. That probably ended up taking over the main body of the work.
And also, in the time that Trump's come to power and stuff like that in the last couple of years, is right when he's probably been in the thick of dealing with getting custody of that. So he's probably not really sitting there, like, you know, scouring the news and pulling it apart. He's just dealing with his life issues.
Yeah, so. Like, I thought custody first.
Yeah.
Then so maybe we can talk about
the next special. Imagine the next special.
Yeah, pent up.
That might be crazy.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Worth of just put aside anger and social commentary.
Yeah, that might be a full repeat. Or maybe it gets more philosophical with age, because, you know, sometimes the old heads aren't as panicked as the young heads.
That's true, yeah. They've lived through a couple of things.
And yeah.
I see patterns.
And you know, or, yeah, it evens itself out. Like, the old heads are like, they look at that sort of zoomed out macro.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Like every small thing for a young guy is like, the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, they're coming down us.
It's cool. Grandpa was in chains, yeah. So we're all right. We're going to be all right.
All right, we got one. I'm going to break the trend for this episode. No, he's not African-American.
God damn it.
He's American.
Okay.
But not of the African
variety. This is the BET episode of...
Sorry. Funny. Sorry. Black History Month was last month.
Okay, they only get one month. Okay.
Apparently. I don't write the rules.
Okay, that's fair.
This is a comedian who I've been wanting to put on for a while. Like, because I think he's very funny, obviously. But also, I like his writing style. He's one of the writers for Last Week Tonight. He was one of the creators of the Modern Seinfeld Twitter handle.
Oh, who is it?
His name's Josh Gondelman.
Okay.
And just going through his like career, he has got a lot of really interesting ideas. And I think the way he explores an idea is quite good. He's a funny storyteller, but just a strong stand-up as well. We'll talk about
it. Yep.
We'll get there. This is from his album, Physical Whisper.
I've been traveling a bunch lately. I was just in London for 3 days, which is 5 days American, 6 Canadian. And London is a huge metropolitan city, but in a lot of ways, after living in New York, it felt kind of quaint and old-timey. For example, in London, there are signs in all their subway stations warning you not to get too close to the edge of the platform. They say, mind the gap, right? Very charming little logo, tourists buy it on t-shirts. In New York City, for contrast, in all our subway stations, there are signs that say, in 2012, 141 people were struck by trains. 55 were killed. That's not even a warning. There's nothing in there telling you how to behave around trains. That's just New York as a city boasting about how lethal its public transit is. New York City, deadliest fucking trains on the planet. They're like cobras on steel tracks. But there's just this pervasive aggression in the city that I wasn't good at handling until I had a moment on the subway that really helped me feel like I belonged in the city. I was coming home from a night on the town with my girlfriend at the time, and we get on the train, and there's a homeless man asleep standing up like a horse, which... That wasn't the whole thing. I wasn't like, I'm home, and then just fell asleep next to him, and that was that. We're getting on the train, and I mention 19th century German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck. Because I know how to seal the deal. And as I mention Otto von Bismarck, the homeless gentleman woke up, and he stared me right in the eyes like we were in a two-man debate competition, and my turn was up. And he spoke to me, right? He addressed me, and A voice I expected him to have was the standard homeless gentleman voice, like Tom Waits on his Tom Waitsiest day. But that wasn't it. He had this beautiful, rich baritone. And when he spoke, this is what he said verbatim. He said this. He goes, there were no chancellors in those days. Otto von Bismarck was the king of Germany. He unified the Germanic people, but he scattered Africa. That was the legacy of Otto von Bismarck. And then he fell back to sleep standing up. Like Abraham Lincoln at Disney World's Hall of Presidents. leaving me to wonder, is that what he says to everyone that gets on the train? And we just happened to bring up the thing he was going to talk about anyway. I did not have to worry. My girlfriend woke him up to ask a follow-up question, which until that point was the thing I thought she only did to me. She was like, how did you have that knowledge on the tip of your tongue waking up from a dead sleep like that? Like, what is your experience that brought you here? And he said, I studied in England. I studied in France. I was a professor here at Monroe College in the Bronx. But now, look at me. Here I am, homeless and an alcoholic, asleep on this train with my two ladies. And we look around, and there's no one else on the train. Then he opens his jacket, and he has Jack Daniels on one side, Johnny Walker on the other, which to me didn't look like ladies, but gender's not binary. It's a spectrum, so... Who am I to choose? Then he fell back to sleep, as if to suggest gently, hey, this is where I do this. Please leave me alone. My girlfriend woke him up a second time to ask a last question. She said, what was it like living in Europe? Like, he just got back from a semester abroad and was writing a very open-ended independent study paper. And he answered her incredibly graciously. He said, it was better there. There was healthcare for everyone. Here, if I'm sick, who knows what happens to me. But there, I see a doctor immediately. I thought that was such an interesting, thoughtful answer that I would not have expected. And we got off the train and had to transfer. And I was like, wow, this guy really gave us something that I hadn't anticipated. And it was really amazing. I was in awe of his perspective and how much we'd counted him out because of his station in society. We got on a second train. There's a tiny little boy about 6 years old and his mother, and they're sitting, he's very cute kid, big round cheeks, and his hat was the face of Bert from Sesame Street. Very charming. And I said to him, hey, great hat. And he looked at his mom like, can I talk to the stranger? And she nods like, yeah, this cracker's probably not any trouble. And he said, thank you. And I said, you're welcome. And he now is emboldened because I asked him a question. So he looks at me and my girlfriend and goes, are you two the brother and the sister? And I was like, no. And then he said, why not? Which is a question I'd never had to answer before. Certainly not in a family-friendly way, right? Because my first impulse was just to be like, nah, dog, I smashed that on the regular. Pound it, son. But that can't be his sex talk. So I say to him, because we have a different mom and dad, and that was enough for him. And the train stops, and we get off, and then the little boy and his mom get off. And he said, this is our stop too. Perhaps I will see you tomorrow. And I said, yeah, man, maybe. Because when you're like a 30-year-old dude with almost a beard, you can't make plans to hang out with the little kid you just met on the subway. That's not a play date. That is textbook Amber Alert. But I was still like really warmed by his humor and his curiosity, right? And we went back to my apartment and I said to my girlfriend, I was like, man, we had this incredible evening, right? Where we met this man whose perspective really kind of blew my mind and was not what I would thought it would be. And then we met this little kid who had such an intense fascination with the world and just wanted to soak it all up. And I thought that represented kind of the entire spectrum of human possibility and potential. And I thought that was really wonderful and lovely. And I said, again, out loud to my girlfriend, I said, I need to be a better citizen of this world. Like I was in a commercial for The Gap doing a fundraiser for HIV awareness or something. And I said that and I turned on my laptop and I looked up Otto von Bismarck, and the first thing I saw was he was the fucking chancellor the entire time. That dick didn't know what he was talking about. At that point, I didn't know who I could trust. I was like, that kid probably wasn't even a kid. He was probably a 46-year-old Dominican dwarf who likes to punk out white people on the subway. So what I really learned wasn't the value of a diversity and breadth of experiences. It's be glad you didn't go to Monroe College in the Bronx because their faculty is made up of lying drifters. It was the wrong lesson, but I learned it.
He's great.
He is so good.
I just want to listen to him for hours.
Mm. His, the track after this one on the album is called Weird Dick Loser, which is just a, such a good bit because it's all about his masculinity and like proposing to his now wife.
Yeah, right.
And all this sort of stuff. It's very funny. But his, the way he speaks and the way he tells a story, the way he writes, it's all very fascinating. He does a fantastic You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes, of course.
Oh, that's it.
And that just goes for ages, but they have so much to talk about. I think he wrote for You Made It, no, for a Pete Holmes show, if I remember correctly. Maybe not, but possibly.
Oh, that's awesome.
And watching that. Just having him...
That would be old, though, would it not?
Yeah, yeah, it's a few years old now. I don't know if he'd released this album at the time or not. I don't think he had. But it, he's just, I find him just endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Even like he's making it as a, like if you go through the album Physical Whisper, which I think people should, and he talks about like how he started out as a writer, like doing freelance work and what that was like and just sort of moving through all these different experiences.
He's only my age. Oh, that makes me feel bad.
But it, yeah, he gets out there. Gets around.
He's done Late Night with Seth Meyers. Yeah. Conan. Oh, I've not seen this guy. He's been on all the shows I watch. Alright, cool. Yeah, I like him. Yeah.
No, I'm a big fan of his work.
Good pick.
Been trying to get him, like, trying to find the right time to put him in for a while. And this felt right. Just like, you're doing stuff and I like you. And I just want people to, I just want more people to know who you are.
Yeah. Absolutely, because I didn't know who he was. Mm. Yeah, that's good.
That's about it, I think.
Are we going to plug Mikif show?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about.
Mikif.
We're doing a comedy festival.
Yeah.
So we've got two live shows of Just For Funny. And the guests so far are
really
strong guests, yeah.
Or are you just talking about crap? Really?
Strong guests.
Awesome.
And once I figure out who the last couple of guests will be, I'm sure they'll be equally as strong.
Awesome.
But
April 7th and 8th.
April 7th and 8th, 6:30 at the Imperial Hotel.
6:30 upstairs at the Imperial.
Mm-hmm. So people should come down and check that one out.
What days are the April 7th and
8th? Saturday and Sunday, I believe.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. And I'm doing a 2-week run of shows also at the Imperial Hotel.
Yeah, boy.
Of War of the Words, which is the, this will be the final run that War of the Words does. So if you haven't seen it, or if you have, it's got 20 minutes of material. So I've got like the best of the old show, and I took away the stuff that I didn't think was consistently landing, and I've developed 20 new minutes of material. Which is road tested and made its way out to Perth, and there's all sorts of fun stuff in there. It's all about words and politics and the Venn diagram in which those two things meet and how silly it can be. So people should come check that out.
Just reading your reviews here. Nice.
Yeah, they've got some nice things to say. No stars, though. No simple stars.
Nobody's nice quotes.
Yeah.
Quotes mean more than the stars.
I like to think that quotes mean more than the stars, yeah. But people respond to stars.
Oh, okay.
I need 4 or 5 stars. And people will go, okay, I'll go check him out. At least one lot of stars that I can slap on there and just be like, hey, come check this out.
We've got 4 stars for Just Funny.
We do.
I didn't know that. Come see the show then. I wasn't going to even come see the show, but we got 4 stars. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, we got some nice feedback for the last run of Just For Funny.
Okay,
awesome. And I've got some nice pull quotes from More of the Words and for myself in general. But it's a good run. I think it's a fun show. A lot of people have really gotten into it. I may have finally achieved the one goal that I've been trying to achieve for years, which is to create a catchphrase or a word that catches on in the lexicon.
Because
every time I've walked away from one of these shows, if I've bumped into someone out in the crowd, they're like, I'm going to start using that. Like, fucking yes.
What one?
I only have to come see the show. People have to come see the show.
You can tell me off air.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air.
Awesome.
And it's good. It's had a couple of people have come up to me about it. I'm going to use that. I don't know that they have, but it's out in Perth and it's here in Melbourne. So hopefully if you hear it around, you'll know that it's from me.
The old Batman.
Do you know the comedian Harris Whittles? He's passed away.
Aziz's mate.
He came up with the word humble brag.
Yeah, humble brag. Mm. Yeah.
I was listening to his sister's releasing a book. She's an interesting lady. But she was on Comedy Bang Bang. And she was like plugging the book and talking about her brother. And they were talking about how he came up with the word humble brag. I was like, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, when he passed away, everyone was saying that.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And apparently someone else owns
He was meant to write. What do you call it? Master of the House. Whatever.
Master and Love.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like it's one of those things that I've wanted for a while, and then I've tried to
like Shakespeare.
Yeah, I've tried to write a bit about it a couple of times, and I was like, it's finally going to get into this show. And then even this show about words, I was just like, no, it doesn't fit in this show. It's not, because the first joke I had was like, you have to in order to create words, you have to put them into a piece. Which then people will quote, right?
Yes.
So, this is the way I'm going to get things out there. I wrote this stand-up special specifically with the goal of putting these words, these sentences in here so that people will say them. And, you know, it's not going to be any Hamlet. It's ain't no Hamlet, but it'll do. I mean, it goes for 5 hours, but it ain't no Hamlet. That was a nice piece.
Yeah.
But I was just like, it doesn't fit in this show.
No, this particular
one. Silly.
That's cool.
It's too silly.
Alrighty.
But just through doing our joke, it might be a better way to incept it into people's brains. Anyway, come see the show.
Yes.
So I've got a little cliffhanger for you. Awesome. It's good fun.
Go see what word is making the rounds.
Making the rounds.
The another show with Andrew McClellan will be out by the time this podcast comes out, so check it out on the YouTube channel.
On the YouTube channel. Just go to the YouTube channel.
Just type in the YouTube channel into Google.
And you'll find it?
No. The Another Show on YouTube. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Alrighty, we made it to the end. So, thank you, as always. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging around. And thank you for sitting through this little postscript that I do on every episode. We're going to finish off with a track from another Perth-based hip-hop artist. Again, I don't know that these are necessarily the best hip-hop artists in Perth. If you know someone that you think I should have featured, let me know. Tweet me. Send me some info about the Perth hip-hop scene. I'd love to do some listening and some research. I'm always open to hearing some new artists. That's the crux of this podcast, is discovering new artists. So if you know someone, get them to tweet me, or you can at me. You can tell them to listen to this and maybe they'll get in touch with me, whatever works. But we're gonna finish with a song called Vapor of Darkness by a rapper called named Complete. I quite liked this track because I thought it had some interesting thematic elements to it, like two mindsets sort of arguing with each other. It felt slightly fringe worthy, you know, something that you might see in an interesting monologue or a nice play, something you may encounter in a stand-up show, less likely in a stand-up show, let's be honest, but something fringy. So enjoy that. Please come out to the live shows. Please check out my Bandcamp page. And buy the album. You can check out the album on Bandcamp. It's The Face of Gentrification and Other Ideas. And come see the live show, War of the Words. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Ayo, I hope that heaven has been treating you nice, bro. I really need some advice. I'm always needing advice. I struggle sleeping at nights, and I've been thinking maybe I can stop my drinking if I speak to some psychs. But I've been thinking I should leave and just die. Tired of reaching for heights that I'll never reach. What's the reason for life? Fuck. Even when my dreams have sufficed, it's like I always seem to freeze at the lights. It's like my feet have been sliced. I'm fucking scared, I admit it, I'm a train wreck. I never stay on schedule, committed to the rain check. It's pretty
pretty strange how inconsiderate some mates get. By the way, I'm sorry, I ain't visited your grave yet. Maybe I'm lazy or maybe I'm too nervous. The way we would make music, it gave me a new purpose. You followed God, you praised him and you worshipped. That's why I find it crazy he takes such a true person. That's why I'm asking you, I know you relate. It's my only escape, really just a rope in a crate, hey? Or is that rope in the shape of an oboe that you placed on your own throat? A mistake in a moment of hate. Should I go to a mate? It really ticks me off. They're quick to say I'm doing shit, but never quick to give me props. Makes me think, do they even want this shit to stop? Maybe I'm just paranoid. Maybe I should sip some grog. It makes me think about your state of mind. Did you feel alone and scared? Bro, I wish you gave a sign. You should have called me, man. Should have named a place and time. I would have been there straight away. I'd never leave a mate behind. But now I'm about to leave my mates behind. Maybe at the place they find me, they will even make a shrine. Covered in roses, my brothers can go and say goodbye. Blame the booze, tip some liquor out, then celebrate my life. Most probably with a case of wine. That's irony for you, I guess fate is blind. I always gotta swallow my pride with a taste of lime or a chaser, while I chase this dream till the stage is mine. The day I die, just award me the glory, cause I'm grateful for the fans who love, support and adore me. But the thought of losing my fucking audience haunts me, cause I'm pretty fucking sure there'll be nothing for me at 40. So what do I do? Do I wait to fail? Or do I place the nail inside of my coffin now and taste the grail? Cause at the rate I'm going, mate, I'm going straight to jail. As I waste away and my brain decays in a case of ale. I guess what I'm asking is, would you take it back? Would you tie the rope? Or would you hope that it maybe snaps? Would you stay for your family? Would you stay for rap? What if I could have been a better mate? Would you stay for that? Stay for that. Maybe we could have laid a track. Or maybe no matter what, you wouldn't have changed the facts. Maybe that's just the only way when your brain is trapped in a vapor of darkness, breaking apart as it fades to black. To break the latch isn't easy to do. Neither's leaving my room. I don't see a reason to move. All I know is it's therapeutic when I'm speaking to you. I really wish that you could speak to me too. I miss you, man. I miss you, man.